Be seated. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Well, we're missing Michael over here on the piano, aren't we? Well, he has been a much in demand young man. As talented as he is, he's helped out a few other churches as they were without any musician at all. So our loss has been the kingdom's gain as he's been a blessing to other churches. We're hoping that he's going to be able to come back and serve with us again. So, and Wendy's not feeling good today, so be praying for her. She's getting over a bug. Well, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're just getting started in this study on the book of James. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the, under the seats in front of you. Love for you to I love to hear the rustle of pages and the swiping of screens, depending upon where you get, I don't know what that sounds like, where you get your word from. As long as you have the word open in front of you, you will get more out of the message as you are learning to be a student of the word, learning to be a studier of God's revealed truth to us. And what a blessing that is to you. So James chapter 1, almost to the end of the New Testament, if you're just getting to know your way around. Right after Hebrews, before the Johns and the Peters and the Revelation. And that'll get you there. Do you know that the good stuff is from God? Do you know that? Good stuff. It's from God. That's where the good stuff comes from. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Do you trust God enough to know that, yep, that's where I'm going to find the most blessing is from God? Sometimes we get to the place where part of us says, yeah, but then we kind of shortcut God and we think, well, yeah, I know God's, the good stuff's from God, but I'm just going to tweak this a little bit or I'll adjust that a little bit and God won't mind. Will he? Yeah. Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Is death, yeah. So we have to remember every, as our verse says, every good and perfect gift is from the Father of heavenly lights. What a blessing that is. Let's stand as we honor him and read his word and dig into what he has for us today. As we look into the book of James, starting in verse 12, let's read together. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that while he might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Lord, Holy Spirit, we're praying that you would speak through your word. Lord, use me, help me, guide me. We don't want to hear anything that is of man. We just want to know what you're speaking to us through your word. And Lord, we pray that we would have hearts to receive, hearts to say, I'm listening, Lord. What do you want to speak into my life today? We're listening. What do you want to speak into our lives today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to kind of start from the end of this verse, because I want to put things in the context that it needs. Towards the end, it said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. That's in verse 17. Who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. The good stuff, it's from God. It really is from God. He doesn't change. You know, the whole name of this sermon is what? Faith that works, right? We talked about that last week. We have a faith that just, it works. When we walk according to God's word and plan, it works. It's a blessing to us. Our families work. Our lives work. Our faith works. Our faith, we have a faith that works. But we also have a faith that works, right? If we have true faith, it's going to result in good works, because that's just the natural, what happens when the heart is changed and we become a new creation. Faith, we have a faith that works. And brings good stuff into our lives. The one who gave us new life, birthed into a new, to become a new creation, adopted into his family. We are his children when we trust in him in faith. That's God's desire. It was God's desire from the very beginning when he created us. And even after our disobedience, it's always been his desire that we would be restored to relationship with God. Always his desire. Now, you may not always agree with or like or sometimes even enjoy the good stuff that God brings you. We're kind of like kids, right? Parents, how many kids like everything that you do for them or tell them to do? Any parents like that have kids that love, oh, everything? Everything you tell me to do, Mom, Dad, I think it's wonderful. Yeah, of course. We don't always understand as kids that even though our parents are trying to do what's good and right, we don't always like it. We don't always like it. But that doesn't change the fact that it's still good, right? Parents are still there to bless. Yeah, bless you. But that's God's desire. He said in verse 12, we're going to go back to the beginning here, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the tests, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who perseveres. God wants to bring blessing into our lives. Did you ever hear that, of course, nowadays, anybody that, it seems like anybody that competes in a sport, what, they get a trophy, right? It don't matter if you're in first place or last place, you get a trophy, right? Participation trophy. You know, God's not, doesn't quite present it like that, does he? He said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Okay. Think about the verse that says there will be those that enter into heaven, but just as if escaping the flames, because while they were in faith, they did not do much of anything for God, and that's tough. Those are tough scriptures to hear. Scripture is full of verses of perseverance in the faith. We are called to persevere under trial. And it says, when you stand the test, the person will receive the crown of life. God's desire is to bless, but our role is to persevere. Okay? Salvation. How does that work? We are saved by what? Grace. God provided 100% of everything we needed in order to come to become a new creation in Christ. All provided by God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. 100%. What's the other half of that verse? Through faith. That's our part. Faith receives what God has provided, right? And if you're here and you have never made that personal decision of faith, it's a decision that you can't, it can't be passed on to you from your parents or from having gone to church as a kid. It is a personal decision that each of us has to make to say, God, Jesus, the sins you died for were my sins. Forgive me. I want to put my trust and faith in you. God provides, we receive, right? The Christ life is really much the same because God doesn't change like shifting shadows, does he? We live our lives by grace through faith, right? The Christ life, we abide, God provides, right? We've been talking about that in John 15. Our job is to abide in Christ. God's job is to bear the fruit, right? My job to abide, his job is to provide. It's always been God provides it, we by faith receive it, because that's all we can do. But it's enough. In fact, it's more than enough. As we are abiding and God is providing in and through us, we produce fruit. God gives us power. We do the works. We're filled with a love that we could never have on our own because we need God to provide it. All we can do is say, Lord, please save me. Lord, please make me like your son. I can't do it. I can never do it. That's the Christ life. In faith we abide, and God in his grace provides. That verse talks about that in Romans 1:17. It says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, from beginning to end, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." We are called to persevere in faith. When somebody asks, are you saved? Well, there's only one question you have to ask. Is your faith in Jesus? Yeah, my faith is in Jesus. Well, and if your faith is a real faith in Jesus, then you're saved. A real faith in Jesus will produce all the works as a result. The good stuff is from God. My job to what? To abide. Yeah, to dwell with him, to remain with him, to be closely connected with the vine. God's job is to bear the fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's God's job. And as our hearts are available, we're receiving, he makes those changes in our lives. Now, in verse 13, he goes on to say, now when you're tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. The first part of this chapter is more talking about trials, although the same word is used in both trial and temptation. But the context tells us he's going into things that are more of a temptation because he's talking about evil here. There are trials that are amoral. They're without a moral problem. Like I have a problem where my plumbing broke and I have a leak in my house. Or I was making a turn and I didn't see somebody and I hit somebody. That's a trial, but there's no moral problems there. Temptations are when we're dealing with evil, with something that is morally wrong, and that's when it becomes a temptation. And we have to remember that it is God who decides what is wrong and what is evil, not us. This is a struggle for our world today because we want to second guess God and say, I don't know if I really agree with what the Bible says about this or this or that. God decides. When we begin to decide what God is like, we begin to make God in our image, what we think he should be. And any God that's made by me, guess what? You don't want to follow that God because it's going to be screwed up. And it won't be real, right? It'll be made up by me. There is a God who's real, and he's the one that we follow. Our culture doesn't like to call things wrong or evil or bad, does it? We're just uncomfortable with calling the decisions people make bad or wrong. They're more choices, right? We're just not comfortable with that. But there's a difference between like a mistake. Like, the difference is I'm trying to do what's right, but I say I trip and fall. Or I'm trying to color inside the lines, but oops, I went outside the lines. There's a difference between trying to do right and doing wrong, as opposed to willful choosing to do wrong. That may be willful ignorance. I know I'm supposed to learn about God, but I don't have time, and I'm too busy. Other things are more important. And so we sin, not realizing that what the Bible tells us what we should and shouldn't be doing. That's willful ignorance. I'm choosing, I don't want to learn about God's good plans for me. And then there is a sin that's willful choice. I know that's wrong, and I'm doing it anyway. Okay? Those are the things that are our actual sin. Even the things that we know we should do and don't. Scripture says if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. If you know you're supposed to do something good, but you think, I'm not going to do that. That's sin. That's what Scripture teaches us. Our world has really tried to redefine sin. They've wanted to make it up into something that is comfortable and palatable to the world. Scripture says, be angry, but what? Sin not. Don't sin in your anger. People have decided that, you know what? If something is important enough to me, I can be angry and I can sin and I can be unkind to people. I can destroy things. I can do all kinds of things if I think it's right. Well, the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin in your anger. Impurity and, you know, crudeness is just an accepted thing in our culture, whether it's in the way that people talk or dress or the entertainment that we choose. It's just not a big deal to our culture. Is it a big deal to God? Does God care about sin all that much? Does he? I mean, how important was it? So important that what? Yeah, he sacrificed the life of his son because of sin. And not just the really bad stuff. Sin. Anything that is outside of God's will for us is sin. Whether that's idolatry in the sense that we are putting other things before God, and if that's your politics, it's become more important than what God says, that's idolatry. If your lifestyle has become more important to you than what God's word says, that's idolatry. You've put something else ahead of God. If you put money or your career or your relationships, I'm like, you know what? This relationship is so important to me that I don't care what it means to my relationship with God. You've put something ahead of God. That's idolatry. Sexuality outside of marriage today is just rampant in our culture. Whether it's people that are living together, cohabitating before marriage, or sex before marriage, these are not things that God intended for us. Clearly, in his word, he had a plan for marriage, and it's to be, the marriage bed is to be kept pure. And God doesn't fool around with that. And whether that's anything from living together to pornography, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. Because you're watching somebody's daughter. You're watching somebody else's child do what you're taking in for your own personal enjoyment. And God says, flee from sexual immorality. Run away from it. just even doesn't have to be triple X. There's all kinds of entertainment around us that we just kind of wink and nod about the bad stuff. I'm not saying that we can't be grown-ups and handle some things that are not in agreement with our faith. But when we're laughing along with the stuff that we know God would not be happy with, then we've compromised. We've compromised. Non-biblical marriage, this is reality in our culture. Big reality. When 5-year-old children in a school are being taught that they can decide whether they think they're male or female, this is happening in our world. This is happening in our world. And who decides? God designed us. He created us. And he hasn't changed his mind. And I know that's not an easy thing for people to hear. But at some point in time, you can just keep on changing. And we will continue just to change and mash things up to meet our likes and desires. That's kind of our nature, the nature of us. So marriage is been laid out in God's word in a way that's supposed to be a blessing to us. And there's all kinds of abuses of stimulants and alcohol and drugs and things. These are all things that God's word has said, no, if you're leaning on something other than me. It really comes down to the most important commands, which are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? If we do this, it takes care of all the rest. Remember what he said, what was the parable of the Good Samaritan? And the people asked, who's my neighbor, Lord? And God said, Jesus told them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Was the Samaritan somebody that the Jews liked? Was the Samaritan somebody that the Jews agreed with? Had a similar theology? No, they were as different could be. That was North and South during the Civil War different. Okay. And God said, that's whom you're supposed to love. That's who you're supposed to love. People that don't look like you or act or believe like you, we're supposed to treat them with love and kindness. Not agree with them, not compromise. Not support necessarily what they're doing, but love them. And will that be easy? I will tell you it will not be. But we're still called to do that. Well, so God determines what is right and wrong in our world. But then in verse 14 it says, when we're tempted, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then afterwards, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So, evil, our desires, are the temptations. Is temptation sin? Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, temptation is not sin. We're all tempted. Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, right? But he was without sin. It's when temptation conceives and we act on it, whether that's in action or in thought. Because Jesus said, right, you're told to love your enemy, but if you harbor hatred for them in your heart, it's the same thing as murder, right? We're not supposed to lust after a woman, but if you do it in your mind and your heart, it's the same thing as adultery, right? So whether in thought or deed, when we act upon those desires, that's when things become sin. And it's important to keep that, because we can lay heavy guilt trips on ourselves about things that really aren't sin. They're just temptations that are around us. It's what do we do with the temptation? Do I start to harbor the temptation and start thinking about it and going, oh, that sounds good. I kind of like the sound of that. I'm thinking about that. You've just entered into the territory of sin because you begin to want it and you begin to entertain it, and that's when it begins to turn into sin. God doesn't tempt us because the good stuff comes from God, right? And he wants blessing for your life. He says, I don't want you to fall into what this temptation is going to bring you. The temptation is going to bring you hurt. I'm going to bring you blessing. And he says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. The end of verse 14 says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Okay, sin becomes a reality. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's a hard verse. People don't like that. We wrestle with that. But there is a need for us to persevere in our good works, right? What are we supposed to persevere in? If you're persevering in your good works, it's going to fail you, right? We are to persevere in faith, in abiding, being attached to the vine. That is where we will find our strength. But when we allow sin to continue to be a part of our lives and it continues to grow and grow, and Scripture says when it becomes full grown, it gives birth to death. Now, I don't know what that does to your theology, but death has two meanings. Either physical death, and that's already a given. We've already inherited that from Adam. And we're all going to physically die, Christian or non-Christian, right? If we allow sin in our lives long enough and we choose not to persevere in faith, Scripture says, when it's full grown, it gives birth to death. Hard truth. I don't worry about, am I saved? I've never worried about that. My faith is in Jesus. It's all I need. God has provided everything for me. All I need is to keep trusting him. As train wrecked as my life can get sometimes when I'm just not in a good place, in a good way, I never, ever worry because my hope is still in Jesus. I never have to worry. You never have to worry because we are saved by God's grace already provided through faith. Just keep your faith in Jesus. That's all we've ever been asked to do. Trust him. Just trust him. Just trust him. Good stuff is from God. He provides a way out. This last verse, and we'll wrap with this last verse, and I want to have some time at the end here. Right in the midst of our trials and our temptations, God says in 1 Corinthians that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. None of us have been in a place different from somebody else. We've all gone through struggles that somebody else has gone through. And God is what? Faithful. He is faithful. Good stuff comes from God. He wants to bless you. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He won't. He's faithful to you. No matter what trial or temptation you may be going through, he is there and will be faithful. And it says, well, when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Not necessarily escape it, right? But endure it, Scripture says. I thought he was going to provide a way out. a way out of the temptation, not necessarily a way out of the trial, right? So sometimes we have to stop and say, at what point in time is this most important? When the temptation comes, before sin has conceived, we stop and say, oh Lord, I feel the draw. I feel I'm being enticed. I feel I'm being drawn towards this. And I know it's not right. God is saying, yeah, you're right. And I've provided a way of escape. And he will give it to you in that moment. If you are willing to say, oh God, help me. He say, okay, right here. Whether that's a exit from a situation, whether you turn off the TV, whether you put your phone down, whether you step away from a relationship, whatever it might be, God says, I'll provide a way of escape for you. The best place to do that is before sin, before desire conceives and it becomes sin. But God will give you that same opportunity in the midst of sin. If we would say, oh God, I've got myself in the middle of this. I know this is not right. Help me. And he'll say, here's a way out. And he'll give you a way of escape. He is faithful to do that. Grace provides, right? We abide, God provides. If we are in that place and we just draw near, God, help me. I need you. Thank you, Lord. We start appreciating, start saying gratitude prayers of thank you, Lord, for your willingness to forgive. Thank you for your willingness to rescue. We connect with God through our gratitude, and he begins to speak and open up those doors. God provides, we abide. So what I'd like to do, just for a few moments, is let's take some time to be quiet with God. I'm doing this more personally. We're learning how to do this on Wednesday night. I want us all to learn how to be quiet and listen to God. I can talk at you all day. Sometimes it probably feels like I do. No amens. But let's take some time to let God speak. Take some time. Always start with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for my family. Thank you for whatever it is that you're grateful for. Take a moment to just thank him. And then ask him, Lord, is there something in my life, Holy Spirit, that you're unhappy with, you're not pleased with, and you want me to deal with? Ask him to put his finger on it, because God is the provider of what? Good stuff. The good stuff is from God. If we will listen and allow God to lead us to the good stuff, he loves to pour out blessing if we'll go there. Get back on his path of blessing. And then ask him, Lord, what way have you provided? What's the way out that you've provided to me in this situation? Or when that temptation comes up, that's been a thing this last month, this last year. Lord, what's the way out that you've provided to me? And just be quiet and ask and listen. Give a little back and forth. Just listen for what the Spirit of God tells you. And if you've got a faith journal, or you want to grab an offering envelope or connections card, if God says something to you, just write it down, what he's saying to you. But take time to listen. Okay? So we're just going to take a few minutes to be quiet. Thank him. Ask him, Lord, is there something you want me to deal with? Lord, how can I escape from this? Show me. Let's just take some time to be quiet.